friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, August the 23rd. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. Thank you for being with me today as we enter into this 21st Sunday of Ordinary Time. And we, as always, are going to take a look at the readings for this coming weekend. Particularly, as typical, we're going to look at the first reading, which is out of the book of Joshua. And then we are going to break open the last of our series of five Gospels in a row out of John chapter 6, what is typically called Jesus's Bread of Life discourse. We've been hearing a lot about it. He's been saying a whole lot of words, many of them similar. Today, we're going to hear a little bit different. He's going to end it with a challenge, really, which is a wonderful one. And real easy to see the thread that goes through both the reading we're going to hear from Joshua and the challenge Joshua gives to the challenge Jesus gives. Really beautiful how these two readings are paired up for us. As always, invite you, however it is you prepare to hear the Word of God, to do that at this time. Again, so grateful you are here with me to break open God's Word. I am humbled that you are doing this along with me, and I love that. And so my gratitude to you and a sincere welcome. So with that, my friends, let's break open the Word of God together. A reading from the book of Joshua. Joshua gathered together all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, summoning their elders, their leaders, their judges, and their officers. When they stood in ranks before God, Joshua addressed all the people. "If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve, the gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you are now dwelling. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." But the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. For it was the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of a state of slavery. He performed those great miracles before our very eyes and protected us along our entire journey and among the peoples through whom we passed. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, my friends, if there was a challenge by Joshua, if there was a phrase, if there was an idea, a thought, an image that struck you in that reading, I invite you to pause this right now, sit with it, chew on it, allow it to just do what the Spirit of God needs to do within you through those ideas or images or challenges or whatever that is, okay? Let the Word of God, rich as it is, dwell within you in whatever way the Spirit wishes. Okay, let's continue by hearing well our gospel reading today. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." My friends, the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So pretty easy, right? We can see the thread between what Joshua is saying and what Jesus is saying is there's a decision point. There's a decision point. What are you going to do? Who's God? Which God are you going to serve? What's your household going to do? As for me and mine, we will serve the Lord. And Jesus, here's the murmuring. And remember, he's been speaking to the crowds, his disciples, and the 12 are with him. But it wasn't the crowds that were murmuring, right? Did you hear that? It was his disciples that were murmuring. Many of Jesus' disciples, this is the first line I read to you all today. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" But Jesus named it. And brothers and sisters, he does that to us here today too. He doesn't say, my friends, it's okay. Let me put it another way. We're just talking in analogy. And here, let me approach it this way. He just looks at him and says, "Hey, what do you think? I'm not going to rephrase what I said." So what was it he said? Just a recall for those who may not have listened last week, those who may not have been following John chapter 6. Basically, here are the last words. I'll read the last handful of verses he said before we get into today. He said, "For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." Brothers and sisters, I don't want to speak for you. I'll speak for me. I've heard those words countless times. And they have become so routine, they do not shock me. But I can only imagine if I put myself back 2,000 years ago and was following this rabbi, this teacher, and saw the miracles he was doing and saw him make the blind see and the lame walk and the lepers healed, I think I'd have been all in. I would have loved that stuff. But how would I have reacted to this? And I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know. These words are shocking, but do they shock? So let me say a couple of things. Now, this is one that some of our Protestant brothers and sisters or people that aren't believers at all may say, "You guys are crazy. You believe this truly is the body and blood of Christ, you Catholics. How do we deal with that?" And they may say, "You guys are cannibals, right?" We've heard that before. If you haven't heard that before, maybe you're just lucky or maybe you haven't been listening. So how do we deal with something like that? Let me say this, and I didn't say it last week, would have been easy to do, but I didn't, so I'll say it this week. Brothers and sisters, there is a difference between the Jesus of the Gospels and the living Christ, okay? Jesus, the human, Jesus of Nazareth, walked and lived and breathed and ate and was crucified. But the Christ arose. And this Christ was transformed, right? This Christ, Mary Magdalene didn't even recognize in the garden. This Christ came through the walls and was in the midst of the disciples on Easter Sunday night. This Christ made a meal for the followers of Jesus on the beach when they were out fishing. And they thought it was him. This Christ walked to Emmaus with the disciples. And it was in bits and pieces that they recognized him. But it wasn't the same person as this Jesus of Nazareth who lived with them for 33 years or who was known to them for the last three, however we say that. And so we don't, brothers and sisters, eat the body of Jesus. We don't. We eat the body of Christ, the transformed, living Christ who continues to live now, who is and again, it's beyond me. I'm not even going to pretend to have a full knowledge of it, but who is able to be present to all of us at once, somehow, who is able it's this living Christ who is everywhere and in all things and permeates the very breath that we breathe and the life that we are part of and all of creation that holds us all together. That is the living Christ, the universal Christ, who is not just part of all creation that we know in this world, but all creation, period. And so it is this one that is central and whose spirit lives and moves among all things, in all ways. That is the living Christ we take within us. And I will also say this whole idea of, you know, that God, and I mentioned this last week, that Jesus uses his example of how he lives in the Father. And just as the way that the two of us are one, that I invite you to live in me, that the two of us will become one. And really, the sexual overtones of that are plain to see, and I don't think we need to avoid them or be ashamed of them or think, oh, you know, we're too, you know, puritanical, so we can't speak about those things. I think they're right there, and I think it invites us to think of that image, to think just as a couple so in love with one another. Wants to express that emotion, that oneness of spirit in a physical sense, and that these two bodies would become one. I think that's exactly what Jesus wants us to use that imagery, in that oneness that we experience with that person that we do not want to be separated from. Jesus says, that's a great example. That's how I want to be one with you. That's what I'm looking for. Because that's what I am with the Father. That's what I am with God. Abba, however we want to name that reality. And so, brothers and sisters, we are not cannibals. We do not eat the body of Jesus and drink Jesus' blood. I can understand how people would murmur about that. But we do say yes and eat and take in the very spirit of Christ. We do not say when we receive Eucharist, the body of Jesus. We say the body of Christ, the living Christ. And so Jesus, I mean, yeah, these murmurs, I get them. But I want us to, again, even in my small understanding of Eucharist, I wish I would have said that last week. I wanted to bring it to you this week. Okay. Gosh, we've gone on 15 minutes. I haven't really talked a lot about the readings here. But it is, right? Because we have to make a decision. We have to make a decision. You know, so Joshua, let me do a little background. Joshua is the one. Moses led the people out of Egypt, right? Led them through the desert, led them to Mount Sinai, brought forward the Ten Commandments, led them through the desert for 40 years, and brought them to the brink of the Promised Land, which was the land of Canaan. And but Moses did not lead them over into that land. Joshua did. And they had to go through Jericho. That was the stronghold. So if you remember, you know, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, that they circled the walls four times, blew their trumpets, the walls came down, and they went through Jericho, attacked the city, and then inherited the land. And there were all these tribes with their different gods living in the land of Canaan. And ultimately, Joshua, as Joshua nears death, and they've taken over the land of Canaan, calls them all together and says, hey, decide today whom you will serve. The gods of these people, of the Canaanites all around, whose primary god was a god by the name of Baal, B-A-apostrophe-A-L. Or will you serve the God of our fathers, the God who led you out of Egypt? And the people, I love their response. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord, for it was the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers and our mothers and our families up out of the land of Egypt, out of the state of slavery. He performed great miracles before our eyes. He's the one who led us along our way. We remember all these things. We choose that one. We choose that one. But it's a decision, right? And they make that decision based out of their experience, based out of the stories that have come down, based out of who they knew God to be, not just who Joshua was telling them to be, not who just the Gospels of 2,000 years ago tell us who it is to be, not who just the priest or the deacon tell us who God is to be. They knew it out of their experience, out of their memory, and they say, that is the God, this God who has walked with me on my entire journey. Yeah. Why would I choose anybody else? Brothers and sisters, I've said this numerous times. I keep coming back to it, but I think it's an important point. We need to be people of memory. For God has walked with you your entire journey. He's walked with me my entire one. Why would this God stop walking with us? This God who has blessed us immensely. This God who has brought us out of slavery. Whatever that slavery is. Brothers and sisters, we choose gods every day who aren't the God of Jesus Christ. And I don't say that to shame you. I say that to say that's the reality of it. Maybe we're choosing the God of security, or the God of money, or the God of notoriety, or the God of ego, or the God of sex, or the God of comfort. A God that revolves around me and my wants and my desires. We do it every day in 100 different ways. But every day, brothers and sisters, Joshua and Jesus call us to that decision. Who are you going to serve today? Who are you going to serve today? And again, I love Jesus. You know, everybody's murmuring and saying, this doesn't make sense to me. This is shocking language. I don't know that I don't want to have to say yes to something that I don't understand. Brothers and sisters, let me say this. We don't understand. We're saying yes every day to something we don't understand. I don't mean that, again, to denigrate. I'm just saying God is beyond. And thanks be to God. God condescends in the best sense of that word, comes down to our level, and loves us in our experience and in our own way that we can understand today to remind us I'm right here and I love you and will take us another step. You know, this decision thing, one more thing I'll say. You know, we've made decisions along the way, right? At our baptism, our parents made that decision for us. There were some milestones that kind of fortified and helped us along the way. Maybe. Our confirmation is basically us saying yes to the baptism that in most of our cases our parents did, maybe when we were infants. But even confirmation could have been, well, we did it because our parents made us do. I was 17 when I was confirmed. Did I really have a good understanding of faith or what I wanted or God? Or was I doing it because my parents wanted me to, or it's because everybody else was doing it, or because it was the culmination of all that religious ed that I'd had? I think yes on all those things, you know? But yet it was still kind of there as that milestone and that decision. I think we make it every week we go to Mass, right? And we go up to Eucharist. And those are great. I think those are public times of decision where we choose God. But it's not the only times. I hope we choose God with our morning coffee, sitting and preparing for the day. I hope we choose God in the midst of difficult decisions that we're having with our spouse or our coworkers or our loved ones. I hope we choose God in the solitude and in the noise and everywhere in between, because we get the opportunity. We do. Those milestones are great. They remind us. They call us back to that decision point. But they're not the only ones. Deciding for God is a daily thing. Last thing I'll say, Peter here is the voice of the 12, right? In the other Gospels, this takes place at Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And, you're John the Baptist, you're Elijah, you're one of the prophets, blah, blah, blah. And Jesus looks at them and says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter is that spokesperson, right? Peter always is the spokesperson for the 12, for better and worse. And here, this is how Peter is the spokesperson and says yes for the 12 in John's gospel. It doesn't take place at Caesarea Philippi. He never says, who do the people say that I am in John's gospel? He looks at them and says, will you also leave? And Peter says so beautifully, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe. It's a coming to believe, right? We have searched and will continue to search for life in any number of places. But only one has life. Master, to whom else shall we go for that life? Because anything else, it falls far short. As Augustine said, our hearts were made for you, and they are restless until they rest in you, Lord. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to this decision. It's been a long journey, and that journey is going to continue. And I need to make that decision every day, several times, whatever it is, every day. But we've come to this point. You've brought us to this decision. You've prepared us. It's you. It's you. Our God has prepared you and I, my friends. What decision, in the words of Jesus and Joshua, will we make today? Let's pray. And so we begin as we begin all things, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We enter into the sorrowful mysteries now. The first sorrowful mystery, the agony in the garden. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, next week we enter back into the Gospel of Mark, and Mark will stay with us until the season of Advent, 3 months from now. Bless you. Thanks for being with me. Be well, and God's peace.